Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Hey, everybody, and what's up? Welcome to The Roofer Show, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I'm your host, Dave Sullivan, and I've been a successful roofing contractor for over 30 years, and I'm here to share with you what I've learned. You can find more tips, strategies, and downloads by going to my website at theroofershow.com. This is the podcast that'll help you make more money and have more free time. On this show, I talk a lot about how running a roofing business is like a three-legged stool. And the legs of the stool are, you have to sell work, do work, and then you have to keep score. If one of those three legs in your business gets weak, the stool or your business can flip over, and that's not a good thing. We talk a lot about the first leg where you have to sell work. We've had experts on the show where we've talked about getting your price with better selling skills, lead generation for a full sales pipeline, the latest in SEO, and all kinds of other topics. These are the shows that get the most downloads, so I know a lot of contractors need help in this area. Then in episode number 24, I talked about doing work, and that's the second leg, and the steps we use to double our profits on each job with good pre-job meetings, accurate job costing, and reviewing how we did in the post-job conference. So you're going to want to go back and check out episode 24. Many of the contractors came up through the trades, and production is one of those areas where they feel most comfortable. But when it comes to the third leg, keeping score, or the accounting side of the business, we get a lot of glazed over eyes. Most contractors aren't good with numbers and usually turn over the bookkeeping and accounting to somebody else. And many times that someone else is less than qualified, or even worse, they're dishonest, which is why there's so many contractors that get embezzled in this industry. If you're going to grow a solid and profitable business, you have to understand your numbers. And like the gauges in your car, you need to know what's going on before the engine blows up or your business goes down in flames. So today we're going to get into it with my guest, Diane Gilson with BuildYourNumbers.com. Diane's a CPA and a QuickBooks expert and has been working exclusively with contractors for over 23 years. And she's been working with those contractors to set up their business and their accounting systems properly, to get to know their numbers and how to manage their business and keep that third leg strong. I saw Diane give a talk recently, and the title was The Cost of Chaos. What's it costing your company? Her talk was about how much money is falling through the cracks and ways that we can get control over this, knowing our numbers, being able to look at our financial statements, and knowing what's going on and having the confidence to run our business profitably. We get into a lot of the numbers, so let's not get our eyes glazing over. I promise if you stick around till the end, you'll see what this is all about and you'll really be amazed by how much money we can make by knowing our numbers. So let's get into it with Diane Gilson. Hey, Diane, thanks for coming on to the show today. I really appreciate it.
Well, hi, Dave. I'm really glad to be here.
Well, I saw you recently give a talk about the cost of chaos and what it's costing your company. You know, but chaos in the roofing business? Nah, couldn't be. But you had some great information on how you can improve the bottom line by just making some minor improvements on the way that we're running our businesses. But before I get into that, could you tell us a little more about yourself and your company?
Okay, sure. Glad to do that. My company is InfoPlus Accounting, and I've been involved in this company, getting it set up for, we're almost at the end of our 23rd year. And from day one, I really found that I loved QuickBooks. My background is as a CPA, and I spent also 13 years in banking, in management accounting. Always loved management accounting. And when I started my business, that was really what I wanted to do and fell in love with QuickBooks pretty much out of the gate. And my first clients were in the construction business. So I found that most of them were having a lot of difficulty with understanding and tracking their numbers, and very quickly got into the job costing side and found that if we could get them trained and get their system set up properly, that they could get better financial information, run their companies more effectively. So that's where I've been focusing for the last 23 years.
Well, that's great. I was looking over your website, and you've got a ton of great information for contractors. You've got a number of downloads that are simple and easy to understand. I think are perfect for so many of us that just don't like the accounting side of running a business. Can you talk about some of those programs that you have and how they could give us a little more confidence with knowing our numbers?
Sure. Well, first of all, I've got a lot of different blog articles that I've written over the years to help people understand the accounting side. And of course, accounting, people kind of go, oh, I hate accounting. I hate numbers. But in fact, this is a really critical, as I've heard you say before in your other podcast, a really critical part of your business. And so I've tried to create blog articles that are interesting. Some of them are stories and so on, but to help you understand more about the importance of your numbers and job costing and so on. Additionally, I do have certain spreadsheets that are sitting out there, like to be able to figure out if you're undercharging for your employee labor, for instance. You can go in and drop in numbers and see what kind of financial impact that would have. I have a gross profit calculator that you can get by when you're out wandering around in those blog articles. You can get that and get the spreadsheet so you can do some of those calculations. I have a free labor burden calculator. We've just got a lot of stuff out there. I have a free profitability management quiz where you can kind of self-score yourself on how you're doing.
I took that today. That was interesting. That's a great thing. And I'll tell you, everybody should go check that out and take that quiz. It's pretty interesting.
Okay, good. Well, at any rate, there's lots of stuff out there that's free. We also have some other products that maybe I can discuss a little bit later that could be helpful.
Well, that sounds great. Well, let's get into our topic today, and let's find out a little more how we can get more control over our financial end of the business, and we need to start making the money that we deserve for getting our butts kicked every day and just trying to make all this stuff work. So let's get into your talk about chaos.
Okay. Well, you know, a long time ago when I first started working, I found that when I would talk to a company about maybe, you know, what would it take to get their numbers in shape so that they could look at their reports and so on, they just didn't feel like it was a good expenditure of funds. They felt that accounting was just kind of a necessary evil for them. And in fact, I could see when, as I worked with different companies, that they were losing a lot of money that they just couldn't see. You know, I just invisible money falling through the cracks that they didn't even realize. So that's why I put a little calculator together. We call it the Cost of Chaos Analyzer. And so this is what we're going to be going through today to just kind of monetize what can be happening in businesses when, you know, just things that you're losing money and don't even realize it.
Well, that sounds great. Let's get into it.
Okay. So I'm just going to start, because with round numbers, I'm going to start with a company that has $1 million of gross income. And you and I, Dave, talked ahead of time a little bit about how your roofing contractors have a little bit different mix between payroll, trade contractors, and materials, and so on, than maybe a typical remodeler. So you mentioned that normally payroll and the related costs and supplies and materials can be just about, you know, pretty even in terms of percentages. So we just kind of put together what might be a typical company here, where payroll and payroll taxes out of $1 million income, you might spend $310,000 on each, your payroll and so on, your materials and supplies, and you know, maybe a smaller amount on trade contractors of $20,000, and then some other what we call indirect costs that would be maybe renting your vehicles for the company, tools and small supplies that you can assign out to jobs, insurances, maybe your liability insurances because you get that insurance because you're doing jobs and so on. So we came up with about $100,000 on that, which would take us to a gross profit of about 26% or $260,000. Then in the owner's payroll and payroll taxes, I typically see that owners are underpaying what I would consider to be underpaying themselves. They're lots of times paying them, sometimes they're paying themselves less than their top project managers. Okay. So I dropped in $60,000 for the owner and payroll taxes, maybe another $6,000 annually on monthly or quarterly accounting fees if they're, you know, being done partially outside the company, tax prep of $3,000, and other operating costs to keep the whole company running, your admin people, etc. You know, there are a lot of other phone costs and internet costs. You know, the list is quite long of $125,000. So the company overhead, we figured about 20%. All in all, we ended up, after we dropped in these numbers that could be pretty typical with, we have a profit. It's not a case in here that we're talking about a company that's not making any money, but maybe only 6.6%, about $66,000. When we look at that for the owner, a lot of consultants say that the owner should be earning about 10% of gross. So 10% of gross is $100,000. And in this case, if the owner's paying themselves $60,000, they're short by $40,000 just on their compensation. And also net income, most consultants say that a well-run company, you should be able to have 10% on your bottom line after you've paid yourself. And so in this case, with a $66,000 net income, then you're also shy $34,000 on the bottom line. So that means that compared with a more ideal circumstance, this company is about $74,000 short of what it should be. Okay, so
and I want to everybody, I just want to pop in here where if you're making less than 10% for a salary, you're working too hard for the effort that you're putting in. I agree with those numbers. We should be at 10% for our salaries, and salaries should always be taken, not at the end of the year like so many contractors do. And also, the 10% net profit, that's a reasonable number for the type of risk that we take. You could lose everything. This is not a low-risk business, and you need to be compensated for that risk. So I would agree. I would say 10% salary and 10% net profit is what we should be shooting for.
Okay. So this cost of chaos process that we're going to go through is what we primarily want to do is start out and look at opportunities to reduce cost. And we're going to have, you know, five or six different areas we're going to look at on the cost reduction side. And because of your background in roofing and as a company owner, Dave, I'm going to have you be a typical company owner for me, okay?
Yeah, the guinea pig, sure.
Okay, so you get to be company owner and commentator. So, okay. All right,
it's been a few years, but I'll see what I can do.
Okay, all right. So you can wear two hats as we go along. So the first thing would be, let's talk about trying to improve our direct labor. So let's say that you can put on your visionary hat here. And let's say in the company, that's a typical company, but what if you could convey the targeted hours per task to your employees before they go out on the job, measure the results, and then hold them accountable for reducing errors, okay, not that errors ever happen, of course, and meeting goals. So for an 8-hour workday, so think about just one person, one day, think about all your different employees, one person, one day, how much time, if you could do all of those things, do you think that you could get or save in productivity? So do you think that you might be able to get 15 more minutes of productive time, 30 minutes of productive time, 45 or 60 minutes?
Well, let's see. So the guys are leaving the shop. Hey, make a little stop at the 7-Eleven, pick up some donuts, coffee. get out to the job. We're cruising along and realize that we forgot something. Job's on hold. They got to run to the lumber yard. We're back at it. So I would say, let's just for simplicity, I know that we're wasting at least 45 minutes, I would say. Another big loss of time is moving material, not having the material in the right place, having to move rolls, move shingles. So, yeah, 45 minutes, I think, would be, that's a round number.
Okay. They probably never have to make a phone call or anything either, do they?
Never. No.
Okay. Okay. Those little phone calls. Okay. So 45 minutes, if you compare that with a whole 8-hour day, comes out to be 9.375%. And I've just entered that in our handy dandy spreadsheet here. And if I multiply that times my payroll and benefits cost, which is $310,000, that would be an improvement of $29,063. Nice. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Huh.
That's a lot of money for only 45 minutes.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like that long, does it?
Yeah.
You know, that 45-minute loss during the day, a little drib and drab here and there, doesn't seem like that much. And your employees don't think it's that much either.
Exactly.
You know, but now when you start seeing your numbers, then you realize it is. Okay. We do a lot of work with, we've got a lot of labor burden information that we work with on a regular basis. So that's certainly something to find out for yourself. Okay, so now let's talk about our contractors. And in this case, for roofing, you don't have as many people or costs on the contractor side, but you do have quite a bit on the supplier side, okay, for your materials and so on. So I have this concept, I call it the B-bouts. So you know what the B-bouts are, Dave?
No, tell me.
Okay. Well, that's when you call up one of your suppliers and you say that you want a certain thing by a certain time, and they go, well, it'll be about $4,000. Okay. And so you say, okay, go for it. I need it. You know, it's rush. I need it. Send it. And now you get the bill a little later, and it ends up being $4,500. Okay, so, I mean, you're not going to argue that, right? That's not $500, isn't that much. But, in fact, it's about 12.5%. Let's say you had a B-bout for $3,000, and it ends up at $3,199. That's 6.63%. So, from a percentage standpoint, you know, those sound like little dollars, but when you start having that type of thing happen throughout the business, it can be problematic. So, let's say... Now, that's the B-bout situation, but there are also lots of times that folks buy materials, and maybe they don't shop it around. Maybe they're just used to working through a particular supplier, and they just go, okay, we'll just order it from the local supplier, but they don't check it. So if you could negotiate your upfront prices, okay, negotiate your dates and your quality standards, and document the service or delivery dates, and track your costs, and hold your prices and purchases to the amounts that you've estimated or budgeted, how much do you think that you could, what kind of percentage improvement do you think you could make on the materials that you're working with?
Well, I think if we had our costs down going into the job, we were issuing purchase orders, having control of the materials going out, not to mention the materials that are somehow leaving the job and not getting on there, I'd say we could probably improve that by 10% if we really had our act together and really thought about that and put in some good solid controls.
Okay. All right. So if I put 10% in there and I have a total between contractors and suppliers of $330,000, that 10% is $33,000.
Again.
Nice little chunk of change.
Yep.
Exactly. All right. And of course, yeah, that's going to take you some time. okay, some front end time, but it's the type of time that just kind of keeps paying you back right. over and over again, okay? All right, so now there's another thing that can happen out here, and that's when you do those negotiations with your suppliers, quite often they offer discounts. So a discount, if you look on a bill that you receive, of course it's going to say invoice on the top because it's their invoice, our bill, they'll say something like 210 net 20. And 210 net 20 means that I will give you a 2% discount if you will pay me within 10 days. 210 and then the net 20. So the 210 is if you pay it within 10, you get the discount. Otherwise, it's due 20 days from now. Now, a lot of people don't pay attention to that. However, I like to view those discounts, I mean, they're a wonderful thing when you look at them in a positive light, but they're also what I call a wolf in sheep's clothing. And that's because if you miss your discount date, then you're paying more, right?
Right.
Make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's say that you've got a bill for $10,000 and 2% of your $10,000 is your $200. Okay, so now if you don't pay that within the 10-day range, you're paying $200 extra. So actually, you're kind of paying a penalty, right? Because you missed the discount date. Yeah, that means that now you're paying $200. And let's say you pay it 2 or 3 days after the discount date, but within your, 20 days. Now that means you've paid $200 to be able to use that $9,800. Or that $10,000, either way you look at it, for just a few days. When you sit down and compute that, that's hundreds of percentage points. And it's all legal. Okay? Mm-hmm. If they said, we're going to charge you 200% if you're late, then, or whatever the percentage turns out to be when you do the calculation, that would not be legal. Okay? But the discount is a way to entice you to pay earlier, but so many people miss them. They don't realize it. So if you were to keep an eye on that and understand that it's really, you really need to keep track of that, what kind of a percentage do you think that you could save on your suppliers and contractors?
I would say that you never want to miss your discounts. You're right. 2%, but we've got to figure that, we're going to Home Depot and some of them are not getting discounts, but I would say if we've got our cash flow together, which is always collecting your bills and having the cash to pay these bills, mm-hmm. I would say let's cut it in half, 1%.
Okay, yeah. I mean, and some people offer a little bit bigger discounts and some people don't offer any, but yeah, so 1%, okay. I'm going to drop that in there, and 1% of $330,000 is $3,300. Okay, well, that'd buy a nice lunch or two, right?
There you go.
Okay. All righty. Now, of course, you probably have an accountant and a tax preparer, but what if you could go and take a good set of books to those folks and say, you don't have to unscramble a big mess. We're going to have a nice clean set of books that makes sense, that we understand, that we've looked through, and we know that these are good numbers, so you're not going to have to call us three times, and you're not going to have to spend hours sorting it all out. And so let's say that your normal fees were $6,000. How much of that do you think that you could save if your accountant didn't have to become hairless when you when you bring him your books?
Exactly. Well, let's see, if we had things set up properly, 35% we could probably save.
Okay. All right. So 35% times 6,000. Well, that's only $2,100. But, you might feel a little bit better about writing that check out to your accountant. And how about on the tax prep side?
Let's say 35%. Knock that off, too.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I have to tell you, because I've prepared taxes, don't do it anymore, thankfully. Not my favorite thing to do. But I've prepared taxes. And you know what? Actually preparing taxes with the software in place today is very cut and dried. It should not take very long. But where most tax preparers have to spend their time is cleaning up messy books to try to come up with numbers that are reasonable. to use. So, yeah, clean sets of books can make a big difference on that tax prep side. So that 35% of $3,000 is another $1,050. So let's just talk about reducing penalties and interest. Now, if you can reduce the chaos that surrounds things, you know, if when things are always in an uproar and so on, you can kind of throw the back office into a tizzy too. Maybe the cash flow isn't there, so they can't make payroll or they can't make the payroll taxes. Well, not, I mean, payroll has to go out, right? But maybe, you know, you get behind on payroll taxes. Maybe you get behind on paying credit card bills, you know, and boy, I'll tell you what, you're late on a credit card and it's a minimum of $35.
Sure.
Yeah. And, you know, it's that can add up pretty quickly. What do you think that you might be able to save if you didn't have any of those kinds of penalties?
Well, let's see. Let's throw in $500 for late payment penalties.
Okay, I'll put that $500 in. And of course, though, if any of your listeners have ever been late on payroll taxes, you'll know that your penalties are much higher than that. And I've seen people get way behind and many, many, many thousands of dollars in penalties.
That's tough, man. You do not want to mess with those guys. So pay your taxes on time.
Yeah, and a lot of the states now are very deficient on revenue. And so your state taxes, basically taxes, payroll, federal and state, you just want to make sure those are paid because otherwise they cost you a boatload of money. But we're going to be really conservative and say, you know, maybe that hasn't been an issue for you, but it's pretty hard to avoid any kinds of penalties, okay? Late payment and so on, but we'll put that $500 in. Okay, good. So then let's say that because you're running a more profitable organization, you don't have to have quite as much debt, that you have maybe $50,000 worth of credit card debt on your books that, you know, kind of stays there. You know, you pay it down and then it goes up and you pay it down, it goes up. Kind of hanging out there in the background, maybe 18%. Does that sound?
I can see that. And I think a lot of guys run their businesses off their credit cards, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's tempting to get the miles and so on.
As long as you pay it off every month, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as you don't get your feet in the tar
and get stuck
there. Yeah, exactly. So assuming that you could get any credit card debt paid off every month, that'd save you about $9,000 a year, assuming 18% interest. Of course, it would be different if you've got higher interest rates.
Yep, so I can believe that.
Okay, and then now this next one actually kind of covers both income and cost. But what if you actually implemented a budget, and I hate to tell you how many people don't, okay? But if you actually created a budget, and I like to say it's not a budget, it's a game plan, okay? Budget has negative connotations, but if you implemented a financial game plan for yourself, some goals and what you wanted to accomplish and so on, and then you started monitoring your results on a month-to-month, quarter-by-quarter basis, and you use those numbers to keep, you know, to stay on track with where you wanted to be. Okay, Dave, you're just going to have to go out on a limb here and decide how much of an impact do you think that might have on your bottom line?
If we really had our act together, we got rid of a lot of this chaos. Everybody was working together, and we had kumbaya. I think we could easily improve our situation by, let's say, 5%.
Okay, so if I take the 5%, okay, times our million-dollar company, okay, that's $50,000. So see what we're doing, folks? We're just turning, you know, we're looking at all these different pieces and parts, okay, and then just saying, what does that mean in real dollars to you?
I think what's important here is we're not doing anything drastic. We're just making small little tweaks here with what we're talking about.
Exactly. And these things that we're talking about, if they're happening in your business, you're not, in most cases, you're not even seeing that you're losing this money.
Right.
Back to that invisible thing. So let's look at some opportunities maybe where we could increase on the income side. Because everybody, you know, wants their income to go up, right?
That's right.
Okay, because there's only two ways to change your bottom line. Either you reduce your costs or you increase your income, or you do some of both. Okay, so now let's just talk about whether you can price a little differently, do a better job of pricing. So what if you were able to see the jobs that were winners, the jobs that, you know, they might be losers or they might just be break-evens, okay, but what if you could see those and kind of start eliminating the losers, okay, the low ones, and start doing a better job of selling and presenting yourself as, you know, with your unique abilities and what you bring, what kind of increase do you think you might be able to get? Now, I've got a few examples here. So, for instance, if you had a $14,000 job, if you could increase it to $15,000, that's an increase of 6.7%. If you had a $40,000 job and you could increase it to $43,000, that's about the same percentage, 7%. If you had a $200,000 job and you could sell it for $210,000, that's a 4.8% increase. So, Dave is the owner of our company. What do you think this company could do in terms of pricing? How much could they increase their pricing without it creating a huge wrinkle and totally moving them right out of the market?
Well, I work with a lot of contractors, and I'll tell you, we can make some far bigger improvements than the numbers you just gave us. One, if we focus down on doing the right jobs and we get rid of some of those losers and focus on where we're going to make the winners, that's going to make a huge difference. Just doing job costing is going to let us know that. We're going to know where our money's being made. I would say, conservatively, we can improve that by 10%. Get out there and get some sales training. You can get 10% more for your work.
Okay, so I'm dropping 10% in here, and we're ending up with 10% of a million being another 100,000. So that's more money coming in by increasing our rates. Okay, doesn't mean there's more cost associated. It just means we're charging more. Okay, all right. Now another. Go ahead.
I can see that. That's doable.
Okay. All right. So let's look at change orders. Now, I don't imagine in the roofing business, I know remodelers have a lot of change orders, but the roofing folks probably don't have any change orders, right?
You get that roof off, guarantee you're going to find some surprises there. So yeah, we have our change orders.
Okay. So the roof is off. We found out that we have to change maybe the materials that we need. Maybe there's been leakage, etc. What happens then generally in a roofing company? Does everybody stop and get that change order signed and authorized and paid for?
Well, unfortunately not, because generally what happens is we just keep charging on and we figure we'll go get the money later after the job's done. This is a huge problem that we have in this industry, well, in all construction, is not getting the change orders. We've got to get the approval of the owner, get a quick signature, and we should also get paid for that at the time. Once that roof's done, the likelihood of getting that money is pretty slim.
So as a homeowner myself, I, and at some point in the near future, I'm probably going to have my roofing redone. I would imagine that when the roof is off and somebody comes and says, oh, you better take a look at this, and we're going to need for you to authorize this change order and pay for it, at that point I'm probably a whole lot more likely to pay for it, right? So
that's right. You got
as a consumer, I'm thinking that.
Yeah.
Afterwards, eh.
Okay. Exactly. That's what happens.
Okay. So if we were able to have a system as a company, if we had a system in place and a process where you always followed that process for change orders, how much do you think you'd be adding to your income that currently is just being lost?
Well, we get a lot of change orders. I would say let's throw in 3% on that.
All right. Good. You know, and these numbers are going to be different for every company, okay, but I find that as we sit down and work with a company to just kind of walk through this, and the company owners who are in touch with things on a day-to-day have basis have a very good idea of what's going on. So yes, we're being theoretical at the moment, but nevertheless, you know, as your listeners are going to be thinking about this for themselves. Okay. So I dropped that 3% in and $30,000 right there. Okay. And we're going to get into the last piece right now. So what if you had everything running smoothly? Everybody knew what they were supposed to be doing. They're operating efficiently. This is a lovely dream, I know. Okay. But assuming that that's going to be happening because you're going to be working on it, could you take on any additional projects?
Well, if we had this thing really tuned up and running well, we had our systems in place, we could definitely do more work. The important part is that we could do more work with what we had. So we're not talking about going out and buying additional trucks. We're not talking about hiring an additional superintendent. This is just working more efficiently. Yeah, I would say on a million-dollar company, we could do another $100,000 in business if we had things operating more smoothly. That'd be 10%.
Okay. So, yeah, and that's not a huge leap, you know, another 10%. So if I drop that 10% in, that's a gross income of $100,000. And, of course, you're going to have, you know, materials and supplies, and yeah, it's going to still cost you to get that $100,000 done. But if we just even work with our unimproved numbers, that's going to give you another $26,000 of gross profit. Now, remember on the front page that we were kind of talking about what are you currently at, the percentages. I just kept those same percentages. So that's probably, if we were running at a finely tuned basis, your gross profit would be a little higher, but I'm being conservative here. So that'd be another $26,000. So should we have a drum roll for what we, if we add all these numbers up?
We've got a lot of big numbers.
Okay. Let's do it. So, all righty. The grand unveiling, $284,013.
That's a big number.
Good job, Dave.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Okay. All right. So what this is going to do, what it ultimately means, is that you've improved the bottom line. If you were able to do all of these changes, okay, that would improve your bottom line. And change it from what we initially started at, it would increase your bottom line up to $126,000. I haven't changed the owner's payroll, but, you know, now in total, really what the owner gets is their payroll plus what's on the bottom line. So now we've got a much higher number there. We went from the owner originally having their payroll and bottom line of $126,000, we add an improvement of $284,000. It takes us up to $410,000 total going to the owner. Yeah, now you're talking. Now, the thing is, okay, I don't think anybody could probably actually bring it in at 33 1/3%, okay, because we just kind of went through and guesstimated a lot of this. But what if you could make enough improvement to add half of that to your bottom line, $142,000 to your bottom line?
I think that sounds a little more reasonable. Perhaps I was a little too optimistic on my numbers, but I think we could certainly do half of that.
Yeah, and so what a lot of people do is when they sit down and start looking at this in more depth, of course we pick out, you know, the biggest bang for the buck things to go after first. Okay. And at least this monetizes it so you can see where should you focus your efforts and where can you actually use your financial controls to come up with greater profits for your company. And that's what this cost of chaos exercise is about, is for people to understand how much money they're actually losing or not seeing because of the lack of what we call financial control. Okay, just staying on top of their numbers.
Also, we're eliminating the chaos by doing this. That's what kills us in this business, is the long hours, the stress, the being out of control with what's happening in our company. And by implementing a lot of these systems and controls that we're talking about, we're making the money that we should be, and we're not killing ourselves doing it.
There are a whole boatload. I actually identified 56 extra benefits to having things under control, okay? From having control over your own financial information so that you're in control of your numbers and paperwork rather than them being on top of you. You know, it's really nice to not feel deficient when you get this all under control. You don't have to feel intimidated. And I think a lot of people do feel intimidated by their numbers. You don't need to be. You just have to become trained and understand them. And then I have so many of my clients go, oh, that's what that means. Oh, I get it. And they start getting really interested in their numbers when they're laid out in a nice logical way. So, you know, maybe someday we'll go through all these extra benefits, Dave. We'll talk about all the good stuff, you know, all the paybacks you get.
And it's not that complicated. It's, you know, there's so many contractors. Well, it just takes too much time. I hate the numbers. I hate the accounting. But if you just get these basics down and really understand what's going on, you can see so many areas in your company that you can improve. And it's just not that difficult.
Yep. It's a matter, you know, I have kind of a coaching person who is fond of saying everyone starts at zero. And it's like that on the financial side of the business. You know, it's nobody was born an accountant. Okay. Nobody was born with a green eye shade. Okay. And so it's just one of the many skills as a business owner that you need to, you know, tackle and put in your tool belt.
Exactly. So the third leg, the keeping score strong, as we always talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. So that kind of wraps up the cost of chaos. It's just the whole idea is to help folks understand how much they can gain by putting some of these things in place, and that they could be running a more profitable, more efficient, more effective, less stressful business by doing some of these things.
That sounds great to me. I'm all over that. Okay. So you've got a video on your website that really goes through this and kind of gets into a lot of these numbers. That's great. And I recommend everybody take a look at that. In wrapping up, how can we get more information and how can we get in touch with you? And let's get the address of that website.
Sure. Okay, so this is three simple words, buildyournumbers.com. Buildyournumbers.com. And when you put that in, you'll be taken to, I actually have two websites, but this will be, you know, a really good one for you to work with. And to contact me, if you want to contact me directly, you can type in help at info, the word I-N-F-O, I mean, I know it's not a whole word, but info plus, with the word spelled out, ACCT.com. So info plus ACCT.com. So help at info plus ACCT.com. If you come to the website, you'll find, you know, under the contact us, under you'll find ways to get in touch. We have our phone number out there. So you can also schedule your own appointment if you'd like to do a complimentary consultation about what's going on with your accounting system, and as opposed to maybe what you would like to have happening with your accounting system. So we've got a lot of resources. We have online training classes. We have calculators. I do a limited amount of consulting. And, so get in touch. We'll help you figure out what you need to do.
That is fantastic. That's a wealth of information and certainly all about how to make more money and have more free time, which this show is all about. So, Diane, I really appreciate you coming on today. That was fantastic, and we will talk to you soon.
Okay, great, and thanks so much, Dave. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's it for today's show. If you want to get a copy of my one-page business plan, where you can create a professional business plan in just a few hours, go to theroofershow.com, where you can download it for free. Simply answer the questions, fill in the PDF, and print. Short and sweet. And as always, thanks for listening. I really appreciate it, and we'll see you next week on The Roofer Show.